Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the Movies, for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Toronto's Fall Film Festival season continues in November. Right now, you can go to Rendezvous with Madness, featuring films and documentaries made by or about people facing mental health or addiction issues, followed by panel discussions. And the Real Asian Film Festival is on, too. I find movies from East Asia doubly interesting, both for the story, acting, and cinematography, but also for the unique feeling and the cultural insights it gives you. So this week, I'm looking at three East Asian movies: a true crime drama set in contemporary Hong Kong, a martial arts epic in Tang Dynasty China, and a Japanese anime set in 19th century Edo. The Assassin, directed by Hou Hsiao-hsien. Nie Yinyang, played by Xu Qi, is a young woman in Tang Dynasty China, born into a high-ranking family. As children, she and Tian Jian, a first cousin, played by Zhang Chen, are both given matching discs carved from yellow jade as a symbol of their future marriage. But destinies change, so to save her life, her mom sends the 10-year-old girl away to study with a Taoist nun. But what does she study? She leaves there with a moral drive to defend the empire against all foes, both inside and at its fringes. With her long black hair hanging down, the beautiful woman now dresses in black robes to remain unseen, a veritable Chinese ninja. She can handle a sword like none other, but what's her profession? Assassin. The kind who can take down an official on horseback in the midst of a royal retinue and disappear a second later. But does she have the mental toughness to kill on command? No. She refuses to kill a target when she sees him protecting his child. So her teacher, the nun, says, to be a true assassin, first kill the one the victim loves, and then the victim himself. So she sends her back to her beginnings with a mission to kill the one she loves most, Tian Jian. Okay, so this sounds just like another martial arts movie, and it does have some excellent sword fights, battles, and chase scenes, but don't go to this movie expecting an ordinary action film, because it ain't. It's by renowned Taiwanese director Hou Hsiao-hsien, known for his stunning visual and musical style, cultural sensitivity, and for his slow pace. So it's got cloak and dagger politics, sumptuous costumes, stilted language, but without the driving music and nonstop action of most wushu movies. This is suitable for Hou Hsiao-hsien fans, but anyone looking for a crouching tiger or a hidden dragon will search in vain. Miss Hokusai, directed by Hara Keiichi, based on the manga Sarusuberi, by Sugiura Hinako. Oe is an accomplished painter in 19th century Edo, now called Tokyo, known for her scary images of hell and erotic portraits of women having sex. She spends her days painting in her father's studio or trolling the lanes of Yoshiwara, the red light district. She lives in that floating world of actors, sex trade workers, geisha, samurai, and nouveau riche merchants. And she visits her blind little sister, sent away by their dad, who doesn't like being near disabled people. The movie follows episodes from her life, both realistic and fantastical. Painting her first dragon, the spirit has to possess you, she's told. Seeing demons, even witnessing a long-necked geisha's out-of-body experience. And then there's her first sexual experience with a man, an onagata, kabuki actor, who lives his whole life dressed as a woman. So based on a true story, you may be wondering, how come you've never heard of this painter? The answer is simple. She lived under the shadow of one of the most famous Japanese artists of all time. I'm talking Hokusai. His ukiyo-e block prints of Mount Fuji and his big blue cresting wave, I'm sure you've seen it, they're still ubiquitous images whenever you think of Japan. He's also was quite the showman who created the world's largest brush painting of the Zen Buddhist monk Dharma using a brush bigger than he was. So Miss Hokusai is both faithful to and a victim of Japanese anime based on manga. So it follows the winding pace and endless variations of Japanese manga, not the neat beginning, middle, end of a Western graphic novel. I love its non-judgmental view of pre-Meiji demi-monde Edo. And it's all around Japanese-ness. I just wish it had more of a linear plot. Port of Call, directed by Philip Young. Wang Jamei, played by Jesse Lee, is a student at a Catholic high school in Hong Kong. Originally from Hunan on the mainland, she arrives with her ambitious divorced mom and her innocent little sister. Her dad is a layabout gambler who makes his money whenever Manchester United loses a game. She picks up the local lingo, but she just can't fit in. She feels cold and detached inside, totally alienated. For example, a girl at the next desk slits her wrist in class and she doesn't even blink. So she drops out of school and drifts from job to job. A modeling agency sends her to one gig. She becomes the poster girl, literally, in an ad warning about domestic violence. This is prophetic. Meanwhile, Ding, played by Michael Ning, is a friendless, chubby boy whose mother was killed in a truck accident when he was a kid. After online chatting, he hires Kama, that's Jame's name that she uses as a paid escort. But their meeting leads to a series of horrific events, which I won't describe here. And when she completely disappears, her mother calls the cop to investigate. Detective Chung, played by Aaron Kwok, quickly determines she's not missing, she's dead. But her body is nowhere to be found until Ding walks into a police station and confesses all. Through a series of flashbacks and courtroom testimony, the three characters, the murderer, the relentless detective, and the dead victim, all reveal their secrets, feelings, and surprising motivation. What starts out as a simple police procedural turns into a moving and at times shocking drama of a case that had Hong Kongers glued to their tabloids just a couple years ago. Protocol is a bit long and has some truly disgusting scenes, but it captures that particular Hong Kong feel, gritty, grimy, cramped, crowded. It pictures it perfectly. And the great performances by the two unknown actors, plus veteran singer-star Aaron Kwok, and the indie soundtrack, the unmistakable images of Hong Kong cinematographer Christopher Doyle, who's known for his work on Wong Kar-wai movies, plus a surprise ending, place this film a step above most true crime movies. The Assassin is playing now in Toronto at the Tip Bell Lightbox, and you can catch Miss Hokusai and Port of Call both at the Real Asian Film Festival. Go to realasian.com. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.